We'll also be asking the trillion-dollar question, what on earth is this noise? Go north, young man. The incredibly British sound of clog dancing.
On a Saturday morning, they used to have the children's films on. And if anybody'd stand up and do an act on the stage while they were changing the reel, you got in for nothing. So I used to get up and do a clog dance. You see, with all the kids shouting and booing and kissing and things like this at you, you know, saying get off and get on with the film and things.
The tradition of step dancing has always been strong in Ireland and Scotland. But until 10 years ago, many of the regional dances in England were in danger of being lost and forgotten. The old steppers in the mining, agricultural and industrial communities were gradually hanging up their shoes. Now, however, groups like the Newcastle Cloggies have been gathering in the steps and the stories that go with them and holding workshops across the country. And the nation's been gripped with a new enthusiasm. People are positively flocking to mass clog dancing weekends. Brigine Clafferty visited one such gathering in Gateshead with over 350 step dancers of all ages.
Just this one step, we'll do it twice. All right, right, off we go. Five steps.
The thundering sound of wood on wood poured out of every workshop at the Steppers' get-together. They'd come from all over the country to learn from the older dancers like Alex Woodhorn from Northumberland, who'd learned his steps as a boy from a northeast miner. He danced in the same shoes he wore to work, as was the case with many Steppers throughout the country. Chris Metherill of the Newcastle Cloggies.
We call it clog dancing. Essentially, it's beating out the rhythm of the music using your feet and wearing clogs on your feet at the same time, which are wooden-soled shoes, essentially, not like Dutch clogs. And step dancing was common all over the country, from Cornwall up to Scotland. But where they wore clogs, in Lancashire, in the northeast, down in Yorkshire, they step danced in their normal wear, which would be wooden-soled clogs.
Started with the cotton workers sort of rattling their feet at the looms. They had these clogs, they were big heavy clogs, and they used to rattle their feet around, and of course you get rhythms sort of. Gradually they built up a repertoire and made it into a form of dancing.
Pat Tracy, who comes from a long line of Lancashire cloggies.
A lot of the sort of rhythms of the cotton mills come into the steps. You get steps where you get the machinery sound, and steps where you get other bits of machinery coming in, like the weft boxes, where they sort of turn over and make a bang. You know, that type of stepping, which all comes from machinery. You get the shuttle. But you get the sound as well, both of the loom, and then there's the action of the shuttle at the same time.
A lot of people used to step to make money. People, I think, dancing on street corners, in the pubs and so forth. And then it became a little bit more formalised. People used to organise competitions, perhaps for a piece of beef or a few pints of beer, perhaps in a public house, or a go-as-you-please, or something of that sort. And those became even more formalised into proper clog dancing competitions. For example, in the northeast, it involves standing up very straight, keeping your hands by your sides, not moving your feet about very much. It's a rather unflamboyant style, if that's the right word, whereas if people are dancing for entertainment, it tends to be much more flamboyant, much looser style.
You've got the noise you can make through changing your weight, tapping your toes. You can shuffle, which is a rapid beat, double beat with your foot. You can do a catch, which is catching your toe or your heel of your clogs as you cross your feet. You can click the toes together, click your heels together, step on your toe and drop your heel on the ground. Do little flicks, catches, tap your heels with your hand, jump onto both feet, anything at all to make a noise with your foot.
Alex Boydell learned his stepping from a shepherd in the Lake District who wasn't shy about getting up in the pub or on the street corner to earn the price of a pint, something Alex has done himself.
The best part was on the embankment in London once. The two of us worked along the embankment gradually, moving on with the policeman watching us. This was in the 1950s. And we danced, then moved on a little bit and did another dance and moved on. The musician kicking the tin along. We did quite well. We got a few quid in a few minutes before he finally came in and stopped us.
Mostly when we come to these workshops, it's to do new stuff, really. That's the whole point. So we're recording it and videoing it and trying to write down as much as possible. So when we go home, we can practice them and then we've got them to dance out.
We think it's very important that material should be collected and notated properly so that it's safe for future generations. And also, we thought it quite important that people from all over the country should meet these older dancers and learn from them.
Ballet and dancing is sort of just girlish, and
we just like it, making a noise a lot.
It annoys your parents.
And it's fun, we like learning all the new steps.
I practice at home, and I do it on the wooden floor because we've got it in our bathroom. And it makes a racket, so my mum gets mad.
Brigine Clafferty. The largest groups promoting clog dancing are the Newcastle Cloggies, Reading Cloggies and Lancashire Wallopers. And they can be contacted through the English Folk Song and Dance Society, 2 Regent's Park Road, London.
Kaleidoscope was presented by Kate Saunders. The readers were Brett Usher and James Simmons. And the programme was produced by Tessa Watt.